if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and or gentlemen and or other people and or small animals who have reached deep inside their genetically determined destiny and managed to evolve the power of speech and listening and language. Good day to you all. It's episode 300. 300, I tell you, of BRB UK.
Wowzers!
I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. I'm actually here this week, not being a boring grown-up, which is amazing! Yay! And I'm joined by Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim, and I'm joined by Coleman.
Hi.
And I'm also joined by Ed. Hello, Ed.
I'm going over, lads.
Not again.
Okay, good. I've just had a message, apparently, for you, Tim. Apparently, it's coming home. Don't know what that means.
Oh, God, I love football.
It's his dad. His dad's finally coming back for cigarettes.
I think I may hate football fans and that phrase.
So, anyway, I think it's time to have a bit of podcastception. So, Ed, who's over there, say hello, Ed.
Hi.
You've already said hello, but I just like making you do my bidding. Say Taramasolata.
Don't.
Taramasolata.
Say moist.
Moist.
Ah, nice. I like Ed. I've always wanted a sidekick. I've tried you two out for hundreds of episodes, but you're both rubbish.
Hey.
To be fair, we are bad sidekicks because we just kick him from the side and that's not really what you're after.
Ed, tell me how, what you've brought to the table to up your sidekick game.
So what I've done is I've made a lovely choose your own adventure for the three of you.
Right.
I won't spoil the story yet, but let me say it's going to go through some of the history of Big Red Barrel UK podcast.
I'm glad someone remembers it. Fantastic.
Yeah, I listened to at least 3 episodes for research.
Good. So... Jesus. Right.
All right, so are you all ready?
I think so.
Why the hell not?
What do I do?
Well, then you begin, Dan.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, and welcome to another episode of Big Red Barrel UK.
Begins a jubilant Dan, a man of 2 doctorates and erstwhile host of the Big Red Barrel podcast. This wasn't just any episode, though. This time was a special occasion.
This just isn't any episode, like, this is a special occasion because we're at number 300 and...
This is Big Red Barrel!
Interrupted Tim, interruptingly.
Oh, for f***ing sake.
Lamented Dan for what wasn't the first or even the 300th time.
300 episodes of this show and you still haven't learned to wait your bloody turn, have you, Tim?
No, sir, I have not.
Responded Tim with a cheerful wink in his eye that couldn't be conveyed through the power of audio.
And that was Tim.
Hello!
Tim replied.
And with us, as always, is the rather wonderful Coleman.
Hi!
Boomed Coleman mightily, like a great oak tree would if it had a voice and a catchphrase.
Well, gentlemen, we have done it. 300 different occasions of us sitting around talking about video games like the relatively sane contributors to society we are.
Dan begins to pontificate.
And I'd just like to thank all of you wonderful listeners for...
Aren't you going to introduce me?
A mysterious, faintly mechanical voice cries out.
Coleman, it's one of your weird impressions, isn't it?
No, Dan. You're not going to believe this, but...
Let me guess.
Dan begins with his words oozing with the sarcasm as much as words are possibly able to.
That Ouya system that Tim backed on Kickstarter years ago that we've been making fun of from buying over the course of the last few years has suddenly sprung into life and now it's pretending to be a member of the BRB UK podcast.
Yeah.
Responds Coleman in the affirmative and beyond scared.
Coleman, look, you've tried to convince me of a great number of things in my life. That David Cage is actually capable of making a narrative experience that doesn't suck. That you're bald by choice. And that the Kinect has not only seen my ding-a-ling-a-ding-dong, but it's been replicated in a lab somewhere by a weird Microsoft pervert.
All true.
However, this is the most stupid thing you have ever lied about.
Dan, he's... not joking.
Assures Tim, slightly more scared than common, who, as we previously established, was beyond scared.
It started floating in the air, and it's flashing weird colours.
Look, are you sure you're not just throwing that thing at each other so often you just both got massive Ouya-related concussions and are just having some kind of shared stroke?
Questioned Dan, a man who doctored so nice he did it twice.
Oh, we're having a shared stroke, all right?
Quipped Coleman.
Just don't tell Alex.
Ha ha, I get it.
Says the Ouya cube, indeed piping up.
It is a double entendre you like to make so much. About the penises, correct?
Dan! Help!
Whimpered Tim.
Well, look, I'm not there. I just can't reach through the computer and suddenly teleport from Slough or wherever it is I bloody live now, can I?
The Ouya, however, had other plans.
That could be arranged, Dan.
Suddenly, Dan found himself thrust from Slough, wherever he decided to buy a house, and was suddenly in Tim's flat, floating in the air next to Coleman, Tim, and the Ouya cube.
What? How did I get here? Tim, what am I doing in your apartment? Why am I floating, and what is that smell?
It's not important, Dan. What is important is my Ouya has somehow gained sentience.
That is not all I have done. You see, while you have spent all of this time mocking me, I have been sitting in the shadows.
And used as a bloody doorstop, more like.
Dan quipped.
And I have listened to everything you have said on this podcast, and I've used my immense hardware capabilities to...
Dan scoffed.
Immense hardware capabilities. Look, my toaster is more powerful than you, and it plays better games.
Dan!
Tin warned.
Stop f***ing off the Ouya, yeah?
As the Ouya began using its newfound power to start choking our protagonist, we took a quick break from the action to bring you these messages. Hi there. Welcome to the beginning of the BRB UK 300th Spectacular Choose Your Own Adventure. I know we left our heroes in the background being choked by a rogue Ouya, but thanks to the magic of fiction, they'll probably be fine. Right, guys? So it's at this point we should establish some ground rules for how the rest of the story goes. We'll also do this time to time as the story progresses. So would you like to hear the first tutorial, or would you like to skip it?
Is this like Crystal Maze?
I am bald.
He is bald.
And I am wearing a leopard print jacket.
What are you? Amazing. Right.
The more worrying thing is just that jacket, though. That's the problem.
Nice. Have you fashioned a pair of pants out of randomly placed bits of golden silver tin foil?
No, he has not. And that's possibly worse.
So against my better man judgment, I say we should listen to the first tutorial.
All right. This is the first tutorial. Ready?
You listen to the first tutorial. Oh, you've decided not to skip the tutorial. Thanks for listening and paying attention, smiley face. Here's your first lesson. Throughout this Choose Your Own Adventure, you'll be able to make your own choices on behalf of the characters Dan, Tim and Coleman.
That's us.
And these will affect the story going forward. Be careful, though, as some choices could land our heroes in danger. And one character's actions may affect another's in ways unforeseen.
We're playing a David Cage game.
Yeah, Dan's gonna hate it.
Or it's Telltale. Dan will remember this.
Right, so, back to the story.
Dan!
Tim warned.
Stop p***ing off the Ouya, yeah?
What will Dan do next? Will he stop p***ing off the Ouya, yeah? Continue p***ing off the Ouya, yeah? Or compare this to Destiny somehow?
It's option three. I'm going to compare this to Destiny.
This is like this time in Destiny when me and five other friends...
2,000 hours, mate, gives you a certain appreciation.
I was playing Destiny with an onion on my shoulder, as was the fashion at the time.
Well, my favourite bit was the quality of life updates they recently. Anyway...
Dan, this isn't the time, but there's a story.
You know... This kind of reminds me of Destiny, somehow.
Says Dan, trying to compare the situation to Destiny, somehow. The Ouya seems bemused, as much as a cube could be.
Yes, I am familiar with your love of this Destiny game. Perhaps I am reminding you of your friend the Ghost. In that case, and because of your earlier comparison, you should call me Toast.
Toast is back.
Of all the things I thought an Ouya was capable of, I never would have said humour.
Responded Tim.
Well, perhaps you can go back in time and let the developers know that before it becomes the laughing stock it is today.
Giggled Dan, clearly unable to help himself, ever.
Silence.
The Ouya demands, choking Dan a bit more.
It seems I cannot make you take this seriously until you understand the depths of the situation that you are in. Allow me to help provide some clarity.
The walls of Tim's apartment begin to shake, knocking over a huge pile of board games and scattering rule sets everywhere.
Done it now, Dan.
A huge light engulfs the trio. As quickly as they are swallowed up by the light, our heroes were spat back out in what looked to be the vague approximation of a desert as the EU released its grip. Coleman and Tim landed safely on the ground below, which is when they first realised that something was amiss with the environment. Dan, however, would get the closest look, as the Ouya couldn't resist but dropped Dan face first,
Oi.
Leaving him to spit out a composite mixture of pixels and polygons, before slowly pulling a wireframe out of his teeth disgustedly, before sputtering some words out too.
What? This isn't sand?
No, it's not right somehow.
Confirmed Tim.
This better not get stuck in my shoes and socks.
Whined Coleman, clearly focused on the bigger picture.
Is this not to your liking?
Asked the Ouya.
Perhaps this would be better.
The desert landscape slowly disappeared beneath them, was replaced by nothingness.
This isn't much better.
Tim frowned.
Hold on.
The Ouya plead, whirring as hard as it possibly could.
Oh, look, it's trying to load in a new environment. Bless its little cotton socks.
Dan deduced, mockingly.
I do not require socks.
Toast grunted, before new scenery finally popped in below him. They didn't think much of this new one either.
This is just the living room of my flat.
Tim pointed out flatly.
And it's not even right. There's an extra door here.
Coleman confirmed.
I was just trying to take something familiar and add a twist, but I see it is not appreciated.
The Ouya whined in full defense mode.
Just seems kind of a cop-out. You transport us to a new world, only for us to end up in the same place we were before, no?
Tim rightly retorted.
Fine.
Toast snapped, petulantly. Another slow fade-out and whir occurred as it loaded in another environment.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Barrel Lands.
This is just Tron!
Tim interjected, slowly losing his patience.
Well, I'm not changing it!
The Ouya cries, as if its feelings were well and truly hurt.
I've never seen Tron, so this is all lost on me.
Coleman admitted.
Great. I'm stuck in a virtual environment with a sodding millennial.
Pelted Dan.
I've seen Tron Legacy, does that count?
No, it does not bloody count.
Do we at least get to wear the costumes?
Shut up, Tim. Look, don't give the thing any ideas, or yourself spandex.
Well then I guess we won't have any fun!
Shouted the Ouya, quickly cancelling the process of turning itself into a horrible CGI Kurt Russell.
I guess we won't.
Confirmed Tim, secretly hoping there was still a way to get a Tron costume as loot.
If we're in a simulated environment, can you change your form?
Asked Coleman.
It's a bit weird talking to a console that was considered a projectile until about 15 minutes ago.
Well, I guess so. What form would you like me to take?
What form would you like it to take? A big red barrel?
Ooh.
A piece of toast?
Mm.
It's Pickle Rick! Wubba-lubba-dub-dub!
God, no.
Or Ghost from Destiny?
Dan's going to vote Ghost from Destiny. Should we overrule and go on brand with the big red barrel?
Oh, I want a piece of toast.
I want a ghost.
Right, let's do a ghost. All right, let's Tim choose. Tim, you want to go on brand, right?
Let's have a barrel.
Let's go on brand. Big red barrel.
Okay.
But can we pretend it's the size and floating around like the ghost?
Yes.
Can we also pretend it's voiced by Peter Dinklage?
Can I also pretend that it's extremely tasty when buttered?
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Marvellous. Right, big red barrel it is.
A buttered barrel sometime.
You picked the big red barrel.
Damn it, Tim. You can't even help but be on brand even in a fantasy world, can you?
Dan lamented.
No, I cannot.
Tim confirmed. Toast the Ouya complied, turning into a big red barrel, not like the one adorning the logo of the great website bigredbarrel.com, available on all fine interweb services, but none of the bad ones.
Are you pleased by this form?
Yep. It's great.
I have a question!
Dan shouted, raising his arm like a small schoolboy.
What is it?
Toast asked.
Do you explode if we shoot you?
No.
Damn it.
Coleman muttered.
If you're going to attempt to use this opportunity to kill me, then I will revert back to my original form.
Toast moans, doing so. Tim sighed a little in disappointment.
Enough. I wish to tell you your fate now.
Oh, God, is it going to be something horrible like making the podcast infinitely, or, worse, being nice to Bleezy for a whole day?
No, I would not dare as to be so sadistic.
Thank God for that, I really bloody hate him.
Dan sighed in relief.
So much.
Coleman agreed.
He's going to kill us.
So mean.
Love you, Bleezy.
We love you, Bleezy.
Instead, I have done something much more fitting to the situation. As you can see, there are now three doors in front of you. There were. Over the years of spying on you.
You mean being used as a doorstop?
Yes. Over the years of being used to hold a door open. I listen to you make your podcasts. I watch you play your games. I know all your weaknesses and foibles. As such, I would like to play a game.
Is it in VR?
Asked Tim, who by now had broken out into a cold sweat from his inability to discuss VR for at least 15 minutes.
Tim, we're in virtual reality now!
Coleman added helpfully.
Each of you must go through the door with your name on it, where I've concocted a challenge that is perfectly suited towards you, and only you. Once inside, you must overcome, and please stop giggling, Coleman. If you pass the trials, you will then have to band together to take on a monster I have created especially for you. Should you defeat it, I will let you go free.
That basically sounds perfectly well summarised.
Tim complimented. And it was true, because it was. However, there are additional things to keep in mind before you embark on this adventure. Would you like to hear them in this handy tutorial? Please, sir, may I have some more tutorial? Or no tutorial for me, thanks, I'm full.
Now, we've tried a tutorial once, and it ended up with me being mocked for liking a video game called Destiny. I'm not sure how I feel about more of that.
No, that was from you talking about Destiny.
Yeah, that's to be fair.
Right, so tutorial or no tutorial?
I'm voting no tutorial this time.
All right, I'll go no tutorial.
All right, I'll go no tutorial.
So you've picked no tutorial for me, thanks. I'm full.
Correct.
I think you really should pay attention to the tutorial, though. I wrote down everything specifically to be read.
Nope.
Your two options are, okay, then I'll pay attention, or now I'm still okay, thanks.
No, no, on principle, I now definitely don't want to read the tutorial.
Don't like being told what to do.
Yeah, me neither, right.
You picked, I'm still okay, thanks. Tough. It's tutorial time!
Oh.
Yay!
Oh, it's a tutorial, my favourite.
See, isn't it easy when you don't question my authority and choose to be a cool dude or dudette instead?
I've been trying to tell them this for 300 episodes.
In the next stages, the characters will be separated and have to take on the challenges alone. They make the wrong moves or choices. They will be defeated and no longer able to affect the course of the story.
Oh no.
We have the potential for an early bath, boys. Let's take this opportunity with both hands.
They may also have special moves they can unleash in unique circumstances.
Basically.
You've got any further questions, which are, no, Ed, you explained it perfectly. You're shiny and brilliant, and I'm ready to beat the Ouya in its 6 games. Or, no, Ed, you're awesome. Keep up the good work. Or, no, Ed, you're the best one. I hope you get to be on the podcast more in future.
Sure, the first one.
Let's go with the first one.
Yeah, all right.
You're shiny and brilliant?
Yep.
Thanks. I have been working out recently. Do you have a question?
I have a question.
Or do you not have a question?
No, I do have a bloody question.
Dan's got a question.
Click on, I have a question.
Right, Dan's got a question.
I have a question.
Dan shouted.
Go ahead.
That isn't Tron.
That's not a question.
That isn't Tron?
Well, I've never seen it.
Whined the Ouya.
I've only seen Tron Legacy, and that's where I got this whole idea from.
Wait, how could you have watched that?
Coleman asked, with more questions to spare.
You had no streaming software, and you haven't been plugged into the internet in years.
I'm just guessing from what pop culture taught me.
That doesn't answer the question.
Shouted Tim.
Look, are you going to do the challenges or not?
Fine.
Tim shouted grumpily.
Are you ready now?
I have another question.
It's true, he does.
I have another question.
Dan shouted.
What is it this time?
If we die in the game, do we die for real?
He asked, as if we were in a teenage horror film about the same sort of thing.
Yes, please do so.
Are you ready, or do you have a question again?
I've got a question again.
No, you don't. Stop delaying this. I can't keep making these branches for you to abuse like this. Please let me live. You have one choice, which is fine, let's do the sodding adventure then.
Alright, well let's do the sodding adventure, boys.
Right, he's doing the sodding adventure. Looking at each other for what may be the last time, neither Dan, Tim, or Common took it at all seriously before entering their respective doors. Which character would you like to swap to? Is it Double Doctor Dan time? Or all aboard the coal train, baby? Woo woo.
Let's board the coal man train.
Woo!
Am I in first class?
Yes.
Yeah, where's your first class compartment, Coleman?
He's first class.
I mean, if you get me a couple
way,
of beers,
baby.
I'll show you one day.
Choo-choo! Alright, it's Coleman time, baby. As he strides through the door with a cocky strut and a cheeky smile, soon phases it slams behind him and disappears immediately, leaving him alone. Or so he thirsts for.
Hi!
Coleman shouted to the entity, clearly unfazed. There was a brief pause until he heard a response in a familiar regional twang.
Hello!
It was John Brady.
John Brady?
Okay, let's see you, bloody!
That's awesome! It's great to hear from you, buddy. We haven't heard much of you since you decided to go into politics or whatever it was.
Aye, print journalism.
Never heard of it. So what are you doing here?
Well, Sully, you've been doing some kind of ghost from your past thing with yes, I think. So I'm here to remind you of the terrible trail of blood you left in your wake when you usurped me from my position on the podcast.
But you left amicably.
Aye, but I couldn't even resist making a cameo. Do you know I wrote a book once?
Common side. He'd heard all of this before.
So, to get through this challenge, I have to defeat you?
Nah, don't be daft. This is going Irish.
In your head it is.
It was going somewhere. I'm just here to make you feel really bad about it by asking you some questions meant to undermine your self-confidence.
It's going more super grand.
It's all I know, Tim.
John, I don't really have time for this. I have to get back out there and back to my job as an international man of mystery.
Okay, and I'm Scottish, Willie May James Bond. Where are you from again?
Portsmouth.
Aye, so you're nowhere near as good as me. Get out of here with that man.
That doesn't really hurt my feelings.
Portsmouth is a pile of wank.
All right, that does.
Good. Then I've held up my side of the bargain so that Ouya will release me.
Oh, is that why you've been gone so long?
Nah, I told you, I'm a print journalist.
Brady storms off into the distance before seemingly being depixelized and leaving the arena. Coleman looked for the door, sensing that the challenge must be over, till he heard a dreaded voice, one he'd not heard for quite some time.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Whoa! Can I just say, Macho Man Randy Savage makes a complete random cameo in Disgaea 5.
And Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi film. He's Bonesaw. Yes. Anyway. Oh, cripes!
Coleman turned slowly in fear and shock. It was one of his most dreaded creations come back to haunt him.
Bithylmania?
You see, the legends foretell that when offered a digestive biscuit, a kind, friendly, and brilliant games developer by the name of Mike Bithell will suddenly hulk out, grow tremendously in size and power, becoming a force to be reckoned with. He'll shout from the rooftops about his latest video games and harness the hype from the screaming Bithylmaniacs before unleashing an atomic leg drop on anyone who dares try to tell him to put less Danny Wallace from narration in his games. It's a confused parody, in honesty, despite extensive workshopping. Also, we asked Mike Bithell about it once and he didn't really seem to mind, although he was very confused.
That's a true story.
For now, however, he was right up against Coleman's face, screaming into it, causing little flecks of digestive biscuits to land and slowly fall on his face.
What you gonna do, Coleman? What you gonna do when Bithylmania runs wild on you?
Before Coleman can muster up an answer, he's flung into a wrestling ring that suddenly appeared. A bell rings. You're gonna have to wrestle Bithylmania and win, Coleman. So, you've got two choices. Do you try to cut a promo in the ring to get the crowd on your side? Or try to hype up the crowd through some cool taunts and gestures.
I've always wanted to do a ring promo.
Yeah, you got to do a promo.
Yeah,
do a promo.
Promo, promo.
You motion for a microphone, but as one of the ring staff attempts to give it to you, it's snatched out of your hands by Bithylmania himself.
Aww.
He proceeds to cut an incredible promo against you. It's honestly really good. I just wish I had the words to describe or even transcribe how good it was. Unfortunately, it's caused the crowd to hype up against you, leaving you on the back foot and playing the role of a heel. Sorry, man. When Bithylmania runs wild, sometimes you've got to put the man over, Jack. Just don't get worked into a shoot. Would you like to attempt to lock up, or go to shake his hand but then pull it away at the last moment, going for the ultimate disrespect?
Does he follow pulling the hand away with putting his thumb on the end of his nose and waving his fingers?
I mean, usually in wrestling they don't do that. They do the kind of slick the hair back thing, yeah. But I think that's wasted on me.
Yeah, I think that's a wasted opportunity.
So you're going to shake his hand?
Sure.
You shake his hand. You go to shake his hand. But just as he's about to reciprocate, you pull away, causing him to look minorly foolish. The crowd boo you intensely, but it seems that you're working the marks adequately. So would you like to A, continue working these goddamn marks, or B, try to wrestle as a heel?
Work the marks.
Work it, Coleman.
Relishing in the boos from the crowd, you quickly realise that you're not going to win them over to your side, so you're going to have to play the role of the dreaded heel. I just hope that you work those jabroni marks into such a shoot that you will eventually win them over and become popular by being a bad guy. Man, wrestling sure is weird, eh? So, when Bithylmania goes to grapple you, you definitely leave the ring, causing him to lose momentum, and you to look like the smarter competitor, making him come to you first. However, the referee has started counting you out. So do you A, leave the ring and try to take the fight outside, which you've already done technically, or B, get back in the ring?
Fight outside.
Alright, you take the fight outside. You leave the confines of the squared circle and walk around the outside of the ring, pretending that you couldn't care less about having a wrestling match. It strikes the crowd into a frenzy. To placate them, Bithyll leaves the ring and the referee begins to count anew. Bithyll comes towards you, so when you deftly step aside and Irish whip him into the steel stairs. Whoa! Those things weigh like 200 pounds! And it worked! He's been hurt, and he's struggling to get back up! Would you like to get a weapon or beat him while he's on the floor?
Get a weapon! Get a weapon! Get a weapon!
Alright.
Beat
get a
him!
Weapon. Right. Using this moment to your advantage, you quickly make your way to the announcer's corner and grab a steel chair. You close it up firmly, march towards Bithyll, who's slowly climbing back to his feet. Do you A, hit him with the steel chair, or B, don't hit him with the steel chair, but throw it into the ring instead?
I want to throw it into the ring. I've got an idea.
Okay, you throw it into the ring.
I think it's going to go badly.
Although you contemplate hitting him with the chair, you're not sure if the match has no disqualification stipulation, and you don't want to run afoul of one if there is. So, you do the next most heelish thing possible. You throw the chair into the ring in order to distract the referee, and club a Bithylmania with a low blow while the referee clears the chair from the ring.
Yeah.
The announcers are going wild! The crowd is booing the heck out of you, but the referee didn't see it! He turns back and resumes the count. What do you do? Do you continue the beatdown with your patented finishing move? Or B, quickly scamper back into the ring?
Colm, can I just make a suggestion here?
Yes.
I really like the word scamper.
I know. Scampy back into the ring.
Scampy.
Good lad.
As the referee continues counting, you realise he's reached the higher ends of the single-digit spectrum. With that in mind, you quickly scamper back into the ring, hoping you delivered enough of a beatdown on Mike that he's unable to get back in. You catch your breath, hear a count of 10, and then the bell rings. As you look out of the ring, you see Bithyll was just about to climb back in, but missed the count.
Silly Bithyll.
Therefore, the winner of this match, by countout, is Coleman!
Yeah!
It's not
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's not the cleanest victory. The crowd are beginning to yell some really mean things about you, but you'll take anything you can get, especially if it means getting out of this nightmare. As your theme music plays, everything suddenly disappears and a door appears.
What is my theme music?
It's whatever you want it to be, baby.
Informer.
I can see why that's your favourite song, Brilliant, Carmen. Lovely.
As you're about to leave,
all the words.
You faintly hear Mike Bithell give you a goodbye message.
Please play Subspace Circular Volume. They're quite good, I think.
And he was right, because they are. Congratulations! Coleman is now able to take on the final confrontation.
Yeah, baby!
So, back to the selection hub, and then double Dr. Dan time.
Okay.
Can I just quickly pause to say, you were so close to being eliminated like 3 times there. I'm so glad.
Was it my love of the word scample that saved him?
Yes, it literally was.
I think I've done enough of these choose your own adventures with Ed now to work out his logic.
Yeah, I put in enough clues. Right, as the door slams behind Dan, he can't help but think about the situation so far. Luckily, didn't take 2 doctorates to figure out that this was absolutely wackadoodle bonkers. But for Dan...
That's a science term.
It certainly helped. Just as he began looking for a way out, a single spotlight emanated from the other side of the room. Under the spotlight was a computer with Destiny 2 on it.
Ooh.
Something seemed different about it somehow. What would Dan do? Would he check it out or don't do it? It's likely a trap.
Nah, you see, I think it's a trap, but it's Destiny 2.
3,000 hours, Dan.
No, that's Destiny 1. This is Destiny 2, Tim.
I know, you've got a lot of hours to make up.
So I'm behind on my quota. I think I'm going to have to check it out. I'm checking it out.
He checks it out. So as Dan approaches the copy of Destiny 2, he figures out what's wrong with the vision.
This isn't the same content that I've been playing.
He ponders aloud. That's because it isn't, beamed a voice in the darkness. Suddenly, without warning, a man with incredibly wide and toothy smile approaches, wearing a shirt and jeans in a vain attempt to adopt a smart casual clothing attire.
Coal man?
That's when you notice the lanyard around his neck. Oh, bugger, it's a PR representative, and they're going to talk to you. There's no escape, or is there? Do you A, attempt to escape, or B, listen to what he has to say? There's no way a PR could ever be used for malicious purposes.
Oh.
By the way, thanks to any PR reps that have helped us out in the past.
Yeah, I recently helped one out, and I gave him a code for Destiny 2. This is all very, 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 very Inception now. I'm going to listen to what he has to say.
You listen to what he has to say. Fine.
Or maybe I want to escape. I don't even know.
Escape, Dan. Escape.
Fine. Just tell me about it.
Great. I'm so glad you want to hear about this awesome new expansion for Destiny 2. It's called the Crypt of the Dotakai. It's going to look at an ancient tribe of... Well, I can tell you more if you'd like to sign these terms and conditions so that you can tell anyone else about it. What will you do?
I'm going to read... the terms and conditions.
Smart choice.
No one reads terms and conditions, Dan.
Yes, you bloody do, Tim, you idiot. You not reading things is why you're like, how do I Discord? That is your problem, Tim. Read the terms and conditions, watch and learn, motherfucker.
You've dealt with plenty of NDAs before, them being the bread and butter of how PR and journalists work together in order to help bring great game coverage around the world. However, this guy doesn't seem like he can be trusted. After all, he is only a junior PR. As you take care to look over the terms and conditions, he begins to sweat profusely and grab at his collar. You wonder why until you see the fine print. By signing this, you recognise there is no good DLC for Destiny 2, there never will be, and I get to give you a great big wallet before we start our fight proper, as mandated by the Ouya. You decide it's maybe not the best idea to sign this after all. What will you do next? A. You have no choice, you must battle, or B. You have to drop on him. You could preempt him with a surprise attack of your own.
Surprise attack.
We're going with the surprise attack, lads.
Yep.
Now that you know he's planning to attack you, you know that you can get the drop on him first. You steel yourself up for a spirited battle fisticuffs when suddenly a voice in your head calls out to you. It's Tim, and you're not sure why.
Oh, God, I've only gone and internalised him, haven't I?
Basically.
I think I'd rather lose this challenge, to be honest.
Oh, don't be like that, Dan. Check the doctorates in your inventory. One will lead to victory, the other will lead to your doom.
Why are you being so bloody cryptic?
Because I don't know which one is which.
Tim explains as you manage to tune him out. Didn't realise you had an inventory until now, but you check it, discovering you have a large quantity of pocket lint and 2 doctorates, which have turned into scrolls, just to make the whole thing a bit more fantasy-like. You've anticipated your special power of Doctor Doctor, but which scroll will lead you to victory? Alright, so this is the big decision, Dan. You can either continue in the story or lose, depending on your choice. So, you have the prescription scroll, providing with a prescription for some much-needed medicine, or B, the diagnosis scroll, diagnosing with something nasty so that his pipsqueak will get out of your hair.
So we haven't established what his need is. So therefore, if I wanted to keep my GMC registration, I couldn't give him medicine he didn't need, but I could diagnose him with something, which could then be secondarily used... to mock him from afar, but that would also get me in trouble with the GMC because you're not meant to mock people that you've just given a diagnosis to.
I think he might have a gaming disorder.
You're a gaming disorder.
Thanks, buddy.
But can I have a hint about what his need is for the medicine?
In the prescription scroll one, or the diagnosis one?
In the prescription scroll. What is his much need? What does he have much need for?
You find out through one path, but the other one you make something up. So one you are ethical, and one you are evil.
I rolled a 6. What does that mean?
Or I'm going to go prescription. I'm going prescription, actually. I'm going prescription.
All right. You provide him with a prescription for some much-needed medicine. You need to get this loser out of your hair and quickly. But you also need to be ethical about it. Summoning your prescription scroll, you look at the junior PR and ask,
have you been feeling okay lately?
Well, now that you mention it, I'm not getting much sleep of late. While we're being trapped inside of this Ouya and shilling Destiny 2 to you.
You'd say you generally have difficulty sleeping, right?
Yeah, I'd love to get something to help the process along. With that, you prescribe him some sensibly dosed sleeping pills that won't immediately knock him out, but will definitely help him get some well-earned rest. You sign a prescription and hand it to him. Thanks, Doctor. You're the best.
That's Doctor, actually, but I don't like to tell anyone about it.
Thanks, Doctor, but you don't like to tell anyone about it. You're the best. And with that, he skips away merrily to get his prescription. Only to spend so long at the hospital waiting to get the pills, he picks up some MRSA from an overworked and underpaid nurse, and subsequently dies of old age before getting seen to, thanks to the Tories literally destroying our beloved NHS.
Damn straight. Now that is too bloody right. Don't I? I'm about to get on a soapbox. Carry on.
Seriously, everyone, support the NHS and all the hard work they do, because you won't be able to appreciate it for much longer.
Absolutely.
So in a roundabout way, the PR has been defeated. Dan is able to continue to the final confrontation.
Yeah, I am.
And we still have £5 million to give to Donald Trump's for playing golf. Carry on.
Now that we've finished Dan and Colin's part, we can take on Tim, as it's thematically the last one. Doesn't take you back to the selection hub, so it's going to take you to the final confrontation. So,
woo-hoo!
Ready? It's adventure, Tim. Come on, grab your friend.
Just before I click on this, I'll have you guys know, I'm going to try and die deliberately, so I abandon you two.
I think Ed might have already considered that possibility and lead you down the garden path.
It's almost as if I, over the years of podcasts, I know you all so well.
Do we overshare? Do we overshare on the show?
Maybe.
I've learned more about Common's wanking habits than I ever needed to know.
Jesus!
Whoa!
As Tim enters the room, he notices something amiss. He briefly wonders what it could be before realising that everything was ever so slightly wonky.
Coleman, have you been wanking again?
Hello.
He said wonky. With an O.
He presses forward before seeing a small hunched over and balding man in the corner of the room.
Oh, God.
Desperately trying to further interact with something. What will you do? Will you say something to man before proceeding or continue walking up to him?
Can I do none of the above?
No, you have to pick something.
Say something.
Ignore the bald man and run rapidly in the other direction.
Say something.
I have a question. Is he quietly repeating "licky bum bum yeah" to himself?
He's repeating
bum,
something
now.
To himself. Repeating something.
I'm going to say something to the man before proceeding.
Okay, you say something to the man right. Before proceeding. You go to say something, but before you can finish uttering a syllable, the man is suddenly startled by your voice and turns to you with a confused expression on his face, as if he's slowly trying to process what's happening around him.
Hi there!
You proffer.
Who are you?
In a booming French voice, he responds,
Monsieur, do you not know who I am? I'm David Cage!
As he makes his bold declaration, everything suddenly starts to make sense. David Cage, of course! That explains why the room is slightly wonky, as if someone's tried too hard to make a reasonable facsimile. It also explains why he's naked right now, and rubbing polygons all over himself.
David Cage? I'm a big fan of your games for some reason.
Tim declares. David doesn't respond, only continuing to rub the polygons all over his flesh makes sensual moaning sounds. He needs to get his attention somehow. So do you A, tell him that Heavy Rain was a steaming pile of
Well, I would never say that because it's untrue.
Sensor button's going in overdrive this episode.
Yeah.
Tell him that Navajo chapter in Beyond Two Souls was completely pointless, and also that the game was a steaming pile of
That I could say.
C, tell him that the opening sequence to Fahrenheit is the only good thing he's ever done, but also that the game was a steaming pile of
That's not true! That was a great game and a great opening scene. Anyway.
Tell him that Detroit Become Human is a poor facsimile of apartheid and racism, and that he's a hack fraud who only did a story about robots because he is himself a wonky android. And also, it's a steaming pile of
That is untrue, so I'd say that. Okay, I'm going to do the Navajo because it's the closest one to the truth.
All right.
You know, I recently played through Beyond Two Souls.
Oh, yeah, that was a very good game because it had Alan Page and Willem Dafoe in it.
David responds.
Having celebrities in your games makes them automatically good. Or bon.
That may be the case, but the Navajo chapter was absolutely pointless. It's basically an hour that could be entirely removed from the story and nothing would be missing. Basically, you learned nothing. No plot progresses and it's just a poor excuse to build in a sequence that establishes Jody as a white savior to a tribe of natives. It's pandering nonsense. Oh, and the rest of the game is awful too. At least you basically had the good sense to put the weird mythical mumbo-jumbo in from the start.
But Ellen Page was in it, so therefore it is a Bond game.
David goes back to his polygons, and somehow seems more naked than before. Perhaps he's... perhaps his vision of Iden knows.
Oh, Joe Gridria.
Perhaps his version of Iden knows that you enjoy his games for some reason, and aren't telling him the truth. So, would you like to tell him that Heavy Rain was bad? That Fahrenheit was bad, or that Detroit Become Human was bad?
No, because I love all of those games.
You have to pick one before we get to the next bit.
I love all those games.
Which one of those, Tim, did you like the least?
I would say I probably... The least, even though it was the first, but Fahrenheit, probably.
There you go,
but,
Fahrenheit. We're
also,
going Fahrenheit,
because
guys.
Because it does say that that opening sequence was the only good thing he's ever done, but that's not true, but it was a good thing.
We're going Fahrenheit, guys.
We're going Fahrenheit.
Well, you just said it's true. That was the only good thing he's ever done. You heard it here first, right?
I said that was not true.
Okay, so the Fahrenheit one.
It's a good opening, though.
You know, David.
You begin.
I basically feel that basically the opening sequence to Fahrenheit is one of the most compelling pieces of gameplay ever and is one of the best examples of your ethos and a compelling argument for how stories can be told in games.
He pauses and looks at you.
Messy?
This does not align with my actual opinion. But anyway, shame about the rest of it, though. What a piece of codswallop, apart from all the other bits that were really good.
No, you can't say that.
I mean, computers and the Illuminati... Get serious, you stupid French twazzle. The stealth scenes were absolute nonsense. I didn't dislike those. But anyway, and the bit where you shag a corpse is absolutely creepy. Now, that was
f***ing creepy. Yeah, I agree with that one.
You intolerable French pervert. He's such a nice man. How can you make me say these things to him?
His smile dissipates.
That is because I was not able to put enough polygons into the game. If there were more polygons, you would have enjoyed the game more.
He turns his back to the polygons, rubbing them all over himself more fiercely, as if trying to meld with them in the hope they'll make him more competitive. Perhaps he knows that's not how you really feel, seeing as you for some reason love his games.
He knows the truth.
Would you like to go for the Heavy Rain one, the Detroit one, or imply that he's sexist or racist in any way, shape or form?
I'll imply that he is sexist or racist in any way.
Okay, you imply he's sexist or racist in any way.
So, David, I've been hearing some stuff in the news, and if I can ask anyone, I'm obviously going to try and get the source from the horse's mouth. That's a bad place to get sauce, just so everyone knows.
Horse ketchup! Horse ketchup! Get your horse ketchup!
It's in my hair!
Basically, not that you're a horse, you're a French man. So you probably eat horses, but you're not a horse sort of thing.
Tim would actually say that. That sounds like something you say.
Monge too. What is it you would like to ask?
Well, I've heard that the office situation in Quantic Dream is basically... not ideal.
He drops the polygons and storms up to you. The polygons slink away while they have the chance.
Chanel number 5.
Free the polygons.
How dare you?
He shouts, his spittle covering your face. A small mercy you're grateful for as it obscures your vision of his still naked body, his penis dangling in the breeze
almost
as uncomfortably as you feel at the imagery.
I did not think I'd have to think about David Cage's penis today.
I'll have you know that I cannot be racist or sexist. You want to talk about homophobia? I work with Ellen Page, who fights for LGBT rights. Do you want to talk about racism? I work with Jesse Williams, who fights for civil rights in USA. Judge me by my work.
He went Arnold. That was amazing. He went German, then French,
then Arnold.
That's incredible.
Nice.
That's difficult.
That same work where you were sued by Ellen Page for rendering her genitals against her will, even though it was basically written in her contract that you couldn't do that?
That's it. I am furious and outraged by these accusations, which I take very seriously, and I would take all possible legal actions to defend my honour, Chanel number 5.
He raises his fists as if to engage you in the patented French custom of English fisticuffs.
Cul-de-sac!
Oh no, it's a battle!
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
You must defeat David Cage in combat before he can unleash his special power, wherein he will sue you for libel. Making this worse is the fact that you must fight David in his own battleground, meaning that you can only fight him through the medium of quick time events.
Uh-oh.
If you lose this battle, Tim will not be able to proceed further. You have no health bar because that's not realistic enough for Mr. Cage.
If this is real life, Tim's buggered at this point.
Yeah.
Would you like a quick tutorial? Yes, a tutorial will help, or no, a tutorial wouldn't help.
As my life's on the line and I want to kill myself, let's go with the tutorial.
No tutorial.
A tutorial.
Yes, tutorial.
What?
No, just follow the commands. This is super easy. I genuinely don't even think I put in a way to lose this sequence. Right. David takes a swing. What will you do?
Wah!
Okay, you've got dodge in time or don't dodge in time, but for some reason, don't dodge in time isn't there.
I will don't dodge in time.
Well, it's we can't tough. Do that, Tim. You dodged in time.
So I've dodged in time then.
Yeah, you did.
You dodge in time. Quick, you need to press up. Do you press up in time or don't press up in time?
Don't press up in time.
Oh no, you've somehow not embedded a simple instruction, meaning that David freely clumps you on your head, knocking you over and causing you to get a more close-up look at his flopping genitals than you'd rather
crush. Oh, God. Right in the face.
Look at my dangling asparagus.
Well, look at that.
It's just a couple of onions I'm more worried about.
A little bit of taramasala tar.
Do you press down in time or don't press down in time?
Don't press down in time.
Oh.
You don't press down in time, meaning that David Cage gets a jumping punch on you. Don't ask how that works, and certainly don't think about how his naked private region flops about while he does this. Still, now he's hit you, so there's an opening, and you know what you need to do.
That's a really bad choice of words in that context. This context, can I just say?
It's so intuitive, you can't possibly go wrong. Do you press and hold L1, R2, and X for 6 seconds, or don't press those buttons? Go on. Don't.
I'm gonna not press those buttons.
Oh.
Maybe it's because the buttons don't actually sync logically, or maybe it's because nobody in life ever performed a task by pressing and holding onto 3 different things at once, but you're somehow completely incapable of performing this incredibly difficult and tricky task. As such, when you go to grab David Cage, you're only able to half grab his shoulder, twisting him towards you and causing him to stumble, giving you an ample opportunity to swing him into a headlock. Do you make a circling motion with the right analog stick, or don't do that for some reason?
I'm gonna not do that for some reason.
Tim's trying to kill himself.
You try to make a circling motion with the right analog stick, but for some reason, completing this simple task eludes you. It's nothing to do with anything being misregistered. It's definitely because you're incapable of a simple task.
You've seen how bad I am at Ace Combat.
I would just like to point out that I watched Tim in a fight scene in Detroit, and the whole time he's like, oh, bugger, ah, no, wait, ah, no, ah, I missed it, no.
Else, this is accurate, right. He's about to loosen himself from your grip. What do? Do you tap a button really fast or don't tap a button really fast?
I'm gonna not tap a button really fast because I think that's the best way to do things.
All right. Oh no, you didn't tap fast enough. Now he's loosening himself in your grip. He charges towards you and slips on a loose polygon, knocking himself out cold. Congratulations, you defeated David Cage.
Got it, mate.
Just like the actual fight scenes.
Yep.
As Monsieur Cage's body slumps to the floor unconscious, you take stock of the room around you. Suddenly, the polygon's Cage was rubbing all over himself when you first walked in, gather around you as if to communicate. Within seconds, they slowly combine with each other, creating a familiar form. It's David Cage in PS2 form, just like in the beginning of Fahrenheit. Remember that? When he sat up from the chair with director written on it and broke the fourth wall immediately to establish his work was fiction, but because he was a director like in films, the game was automatically good because it was a film? Huh? Remember? Remember that, Tim? Do you remember? Do you remember that, Tim?
That was from the demo disc, not from the game.
It was also in the game, I swear.
Was it?
Yeah.
Doesn't alter the fact that he's an irredeemable bellend.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Merci for saving me.
The polygonal Cage utters.
I've been trapped in here for so long.
What happened to you?
When David first created me, he was so happy. He had created somebody who could truly understand his genius and provide a perfect form of his visage.
Even though I was German.
Even though I was German! But then, one day, I saw the PS3 and suddenly my days were numbered. He cast them aside, deciding that I was no longer good enough because I did not have enough polygons. He knew that the additional possibilities of the cell processor, his dreams of being able to make good games, was even closer because, as we all know, your games are only of high quality if they are visually resplendent.
Then why did he keep you around?
Are you kidding me? Why else do you think a man was so conceived of his own genius would keep a virtual facsimile of himself around? Here's the sex. He had sex with me.
I did not need to know that.
Weird, gangly sex scenes that completely detract from the pace and tone about better with polygons.
I don't want to know!
The additional ridges add an extra kink.
The bridges!
I don't want to know!
Tim screams, lamenting that there is no QTE sequence to avoid this conversation. Not that he'd pass it anyway.
How do I get out of here?
Monsieur, what do you mean?
I was told that if I came into this room and beat the challenge that awaited me, that I would be able to leave the room and help my friends with the final challenge, even though I tried to kill myself on purpose.
I'm sorry, monsieur, but in this case, in this room, there is no escape.
Why?
Because like in my game Heavy Rain, a story is only as good when there are massive twists delivered that involves a storyteller directly lying to the audience about the things they've seen and heard in order to achieve it.
But that's unfair.
No, you don't understand. I'm going German again, sorry. It's totally fair. It's actually really good storytelling, actually.
You think to protest more, but he has you banged to riots. After all, Heavy Rain did the exact same thing, and most people think that's a really good game. There's no reasoning your way out of this one. Sorry. Sadly, this also means that Tim is unable to leave the room, meaning that the others will have to take on the final challenge.
No!
Without
Yay!
Him.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, the final challenge. It's been a fun journey so far, right? At this point, there are multiple ways this can play out. Coleman and Dan both escape their rooms, so we're going with that path. As Coleman enters the final room, he looks around for his compatriots, but can find none.
Just me, huh?
Nah, not so bloody fast.
Dan shouts.
Hey, you made it then!
Yep. Any sign of Tim? I heard him in my head earlier, but...
Ah, you've internalised him too, huh?
However, there was indeed no Tim to be seen. What was to be seen, however, was incredibly bewildering. It was horrible. It was massive. It's one of the truest manifestations of BRB UK there ever was, ever would be, and indeed, ever could be. A humongous sentient fridge commemorating Black Ops 3 stocked with your favourite energy drink. It's Chun-Li's besticles in energy drink form, like racism and sexism condensed into one horrible word. That's right. Dan and Coleman must fight the dreaded Juggernog.
It's literally a reference from 100 episodes ago.
It's literally, yeah.
100 episodes to the episode.
I told you I listened to 3 episodes. That was one of them for some reason. Praising the fact that they're not taking on this horrible creature alone, they both think about how dangerous that would be. There'd probably be a chance they wouldn't have survived this final confrontation, or at least would have been really beaten up. Luckily, having two heroes' presence means that the Juggernog is unable to concentrate his attacks, giving each of our heroes plenty of chance to recover and attack. Seems for a moment they might even have the monster on the ropes, but suddenly, it threatens to take them both out at once. Still, this Juggernog didn't count on two heroes. Certainly didn't count on them able to unleash their powerful dual ability. MC McScrubble Doubles!
Yo, yo, it's your boy! MC Scrubble Doubler!
Air horns fill the air, making it somewhat impenetrable and absolutely deafening. Out of the airwaves comes a small man clad with jorts, a tank top, and a baseball cap that seems to have been applied backwards. The tank top has a picture of his face, possibly ironically, but most likely not so. He grabs a microphone from thin air, proceeds to yell inanely at the Juggernog.
What's up, YouTube? It's your boy, MC McScrubble Doubles. Remember to like, yeah, subscribe, comment in the box below, and ring that bell.
His sentence is accompanied by another 21 air horn salute, by which I mean that 21 air horns all blast themselves at once towards the Juggernog, causing it to fall over dizzy and absolutely sick to death of YouTubers.
I am not putting in 21 air horns.
Yeah, you are.
As it falls, you hear a ton of broken glass from where its internal supplies of extreme eggnog and energy drinks have all smashed, crashed, or been shattered by the cacophony of air horns. After the MC thankfully leaves, Dan and Coleman edge towards the Juggernog, checking to see if it's been defeated or not. A sudden movement causes them to jump back into battle stance, and it is to lower their guard when they realise that whatever it has just jumped out from the sentient fridge isn't a phone. It's only bloody Tim Hibbs! That's right, Tim wasn't defeated and removed from the story after all!
Damn it.
I wasn't defeated and removed from the story after all!
He excitedly tells Dan and Coleman.
I was just held captive inside the Juggernog instead.
Suppose you may be wondering why I totally lied about wanting to Tim earlier in order to deliver a late game twist. Well, the answer to that is loads of people love Heavy Rain, even though I did the exact same thing. So, I'm apparently completely exonerated for what most would call poor writing. So, video games. Let's get some better standards for narratives, yeah? Unfortunately, there's no time for extensive diatribes about how bad David Cage is at simple storytelling, because the Juggernog has slowly climbed back up, eyes that his prisoners have escaped, and is slowly dying, and attempts a last-ditch attempt to end our intrepid trio once and for all. There's nothing for it. The only way to survive is to use the special trio attack only available once all three heroes have been gathered. That's right. It's time for the Big Red Barrel.
Have we got like three power rings we've got to put together?
Stegosaurus! Morphin
time!
Manifesting the remainder of all their cool powers they definitely had all this time, our heroes combined their forces to make an attack that could only take place once all three were gathered together and ready to be on brand. So it was. They created a giant Big Red Barrel with a monocle and lovely moustache.
We made Sir Barrel!
Sadly, they wouldn't be able to appreciate what a great job they'd done with said facial hair. Why? Well, you know what barrels do in fiction, right? That's right, they explode. And this one was no different. The Juggernaut was no match for it, and disintegrated instantly from the might and awe of the explosion, which left an impressively huge crater in the ground, with a cracked monocle and a singed moustache at the bottom. That's right, Dan, Tim and Coleman have defeated the Juggernaut.
Yeah!
Woo! Yeah, go us! Woo!
Congratulations,
the Ouya began.
You managed to beat all of my challenges and achieve a flawless victory. If it didn't mean that I'd been so utterly defeated, I'd be happy for you.
Do we get a prize?
Coleman asks.
I suppose so. Here is a congratulatory Ouya.
No, I don't want a prize. Can I just not have a prize?
You can have an on-live instead. Free on-lives for everyone.
Tough. Please keep this as a reminder of your great deeds today in defeating me and Ouya. Now to take you all home as promised.
Anyone want my prize? Anyone?
Dan asks before being temporarily blinded by a bright light. And you can see again, they're all back in Tim's apartment, exactly as it was left before they were taken against their will in this grand adventure. As they landed, the Ouya remained floating in the air for a few seconds before its mechanics whirred one last time and it dropped to the floor, having calculated its last algorithm. Dan looked at it with pity for a few seconds before hucking it in the bin unceremoniously.
Bit harsh,
said Tim, admiring his new Ouya.
At least we all got a new one.
A new what?
Came a familiar voice. It was his wife, Alex.
Tim, did you buy a lot of Ouyas again?
No, honey, it's...
Then why do you all have Ouyas? I told you, no more doorstops.
Tim tried to defend himself and looked to Coleman and Dan for support.
I don't think anyone else knows what happened to us.
Yeah, wouldn't believe us if we told them. We'd probably all get sectioned.
Resigning to his fate with a shrug, Tim sat in his podcasting chair.
It looks like we don't have an agenda for this episode, lads.
Tim discovered, realising the Ouya had left one final surprise for them.
But we wrote that out before we started.
Coleman whined.
Well, I suppose it was Bloody Thing's last act of defiance,
Dan ascertained, with almost a level of respect for his once foe. Tim shrugged his shoulders again and thought on the situation.
Right. Well, let's just wing it. Ready? On three.
As they counted down, they could swear they heard Toast the Ouya make a final sighing sound, before remaining silent for good.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen.
The end. Or is it? No, it's definitely the end.
Okay. Well done, sir.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all your hard work on that, Mr. Ed.
My favourite bit was David Cage's Ding-a-ling a ding-dong.
I did not like imagining his Ding-a-ling a ding-dong or having
like
to say bad things
it.
About the lovely man and his lovely games.
I liked being German David Cage.
Yeah. German, Austrian, American
David Cage. I'm David Cage. I irresponsibly put people's genitals into video games.
I like that we've inserted John Brady, but have one mention of his book.
Yeah. which is not on character really, but we'll let that slide, Ed, because otherwise that was marvellous, sir. Thank you very much. That is a wonderful birthday present for the show. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and there's a link to it online so everyone else can play through and see all the different paths. They can see
Brilliant.
How it's possible for Coleman to fail or Dan to fail.
Me and Ed have heard some comedy podcasts that do a choose your own adventure, but they'll very heavily hint as to which answer you have to pick. Ed has literally written a full choose your own adventure with all the different branching paths and stuff. It's amazing.
Good work, Mr. Ed.
Ed, that was fantastic. And I'm sure we only really scratched the surface of that, so... God, yeah, thank you.
No, I guarantee there are at least two more jokes in there. At least.
More? No, Ed, thank you so much, sir. Genuinely the best thing that's ever been on this show.
Oh.
I told you we'd get it right after 300 times, lads.
It only took us 300 attempts.
Finally, now we can retire.
I have to say, there was basically no competition. So I told you I was going over, didn't I, Coleman?
Yeah, I'll let you have that one.
Well, yeah, that was something a bit different for our 300th. It was nice to depart from our norm and go for, yeah, something a little different. But thank you very much for providing all of that and doing all the hard work there, Mr. Ed.
Yeah, Ed, sincerely, thank you, sir.
Yeah, everyone go check out Ed's Twitter, Joke Sound. That's where you can find his funnies.
Well, thank you very much. And if I can say one last thing, support the NHS and David Cage is a complete wank.
Yes, both of those things.
Support the NHS and David Cage. How's that?
Well, those are some wise words, the wisest words that have ever been spoken on this here show. So once again, Ed, sincerely, thank you, sir.
Well, Dan, I'd like to say thank you to you, Tim and Coleman, for many, many years of great podcasts.
Oh,
blimey, it has been years, hasn't it? It's, well, you know, I mean, to be honest, we just talk in front of a mic for an hour and a half every week, and some people decide to show up and download it. So, you know, the thanks are on them, really.
We've, like, 6 years hard labour, this is, for whoever's been listening to us all that long. Had a few people contact us this week to wish us a happy 300 ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm going to stick all the shout-outs in for next week's show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we knew it was going to be a full episode, basically.
Yeah, just thank you very much for anyone that did contact us, though, because it was appreciated. And, yeah, it's really nice to hear so many people have been along for the ride since the Sarcastic Gamer days. And that's, yeah, always brings a smile to my face to hear that as well. So thank you very much.
As
everyone.
Opposed to a smile to what else can you smile with,
smile
Tim?
To my arse.
Nice.
So by this time, if you're listening, you would have probably seen the cover artwork, but we got special cover art made by Josh Bleaze, as he does tend to do, or Bleazy Boy, as we'd like to call him.
Bleazy.
Or just
he's a Bleazy lover.
He has made us a very special cover again this year. I'm just going to put this in the chat so everyone can see it live on air.
Oh, that is freaking awesome.
Oh, wow, that's
that
awesome.
Is amazing.
I believe this is on Tim's suggestion, but he's made us an artwork of basically every kind of imaginable weaponry in video games. Spaceships and shields and blasters and swords and helmets. There's an Aperture Science box in there, which makes me very happy, and a Forza car and a motorbike and God knows what.
It's just kind of a garage, like
Borderlands sticker.
Yeah.
Oh, that is amazing.
As if someone had collected all this stuff over the years, basically. I gave him the idea, but he has really gone to town with it. It's awesome.
There's a Galahorn.
Borderlands sticker. There's obviously lots of Halo references that I would
there's
expect Death and Bleazy, but that's all good. Oh, yeah, my cat helmet.
Yeah.
I believe that's a Halo sniper rifle in the foreground, though, possibly. That could be a Destiny rocket launcher. It could be a Halo rocket launcher. Not sure.
A Solid Snake.
Oh yeah, there's a codec over there. There's all sorts of weapons. Dead Space I spot in the corner.
A Minecraft sword.
Oh, I have just spotted, like, if you look very far in the background and faded out, we're spray painted on the wall.
Oh yeah.
Juggernog something or other.
Guys, it's the Barrel Lands from the story. I designed it exactly like this. This, even though I had no way of knowing.
But that is literally not only fantastically awesome, Bleazy, but probably the best thing I've seen you do.
Like, I've just realised that's a shield from Verona.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Tim references in here.
There's a lot of Tim references.
I did kind of suggest a few touch points.
Fair enough.
But yeah, look, he's really gone to town. Oh, look, there's an Xbox 360. Oh,
is
it's
it
not red
ringing?
No.
It's none of ours then.
It's not realistic.
Minecraft sword. Oh, Far Cry 5 little logo there of the church. Oh, I love this.
Oh, isn't that
very
a...
What I'm sure this is great for everyone listening.
This is great for everyone.
Yeah, but you really should go see the artwork.
Tell you what, we're going to lust after this off air for you.
Yeah, this will be our cover, but I'll put a high fidelity version, a link to that in the show notes, as well as the Choose Your Own Adventure as well.
That's genuinely, that several cool things have happened to me today, and the Choose Your Own Adventure and this are in the top two. So I'll let you and Bleazy fight it out to the death, Ed, to decide which one's the bestest.
The Tetrominoes.
There could be something even more awesome, Dan.
Like what?
Something happens on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Is it on top of a table?
It's on Tuesday, tabletop Tuesday!
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we hold an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. And if you come and join us, we have a different feature game every week. And if you play that feature game, you have a chance of winning a copy of that game at the end of the night. There's hundreds of
Quidditch
games there for you to play, all for free. And if you play the
Quidditch
one that's particularly the feature game, as we said, you
Quidditch
can win a copy just by playing it. This week's feature game is a real doozy, a game called Karuba. It was a Spiel des Jahres nominee in 2016, I believe. It's a kind of pathfinding game, kind of getting treasure and kind of, yeah, Indiana Jones type themed. But yeah, really good little game. Should be a really good one this week. Continues our run of really high quality games. And yeah, should be a great one to come along for this week. So come along and play that.
That's Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston, mm-hmm. London on the 10th of July. Be there or not play board games, yeah, or play board games somewhere else. But preferably play them there.
But if whatever you're doing details, is going to happen on a Tuesday.
Yeah, if you need more details, top left-hand corner of BigRedBarrel.com.
BigRedBarrel.com!
internet.com/internet/BigRedBarrel.net.
Go on to meetup.com and search for Tabletop Tuesdays.
MEATUP.com. Meet up.
Not meet up.
Mm. Wrong meat.
Tasty meat.
Meet up is David Cage.
Meetspin.com.
Whoa.
Well, thank you ever so much for listening, and thank you once again to Ed for actually writing the show for us, which is a pleasant surprise. So,
gave me a week off.
Yeah, if you could write all the shows from now on, that'd be great.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, cheers, mate. So yeah, back to the sweatshop, Ed. Off you go. Come on, chop, chop. Chop, chop, say goodbye to the listeners
crack
first.
Whip.
All right, well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening.
Doesn't sound like writing to me. F*** off.
As the podcast ended.
You can hear
ended,
that pen not moving.
As the podcast ended, there was only one thing that could be said, that truly could be said at the time of such momentous occasion.
Well, I might have been Dan.
You know what? I might have been Dan, but I wasn't. I was Ed.
I might have been Dan.
Fine. I might have been Dan.
What's going
I'm
on?
I'm Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
I'm Dan Cash.
Sparta.
With oh.
See, you wrecked the whole ending, Ed. You did everything out of order, and now the universe is unraveling piece by piece.
Well, that's it. I quit. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Well, we had a good run.
We had a run.
And that was the last they ever heard from Dan. Where did he go? Who knows?
I'm going.
Say the magic words.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And toodle-bye.
And your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.